I'll have what she's having.
You are listening to the Night and Day podcast, featuring the interview archives of Western New York music writer Tom Jennings. Tom has interviewed some of the biggest names in music and entertainment, and now you can enjoy these never-before-heard interviews. Here is your host, Tom Jennings.
Thank you for joining me for this first episode of Night and Day, my audio interview archives. Just a little background on how this all came together. My name is Tom Jennings. I am a music writer for the Niagara Gazette in the Niagara Falls, New York area, near Buffalo, in case you're not from around these parts. And over the years, I've interviewed a lot of different musicians, and basically the way it works is if you're writing up a feature piece, you'll interview someone and go back to the audio file, transcribe it, pull out a few select quotes, and then build the feature piece around that. So what happens is you're left with all this additional audio that just kind of sits around. There's some other projects that I've seen on the web that are for gathering some of this additional audio that reporters have over the years, and that kind of got me to start thinking about taking some of my stuff and maybe packaging it in a way that people that are fans of particular bands could listen to. We'll start out with a few episodes that are, unfortunately, people that have passed away. So in this case, we have the Yes bass player, Chris Squire, arguably one of the best ever in recorded music history. Certainly always at the top of lists when it comes to bassists in rock. But in this episode, Chris was talking to me about an upcoming show at Art Park in Lewiston, New York, a venue that I cover on a regular basis. And really the topic of interest, I guess, that would be the most current, so to speak, is he did discuss with me what would happen if Yes made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, Chris died before Yes made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he was just only left to answer this question, and that was it. Anyhow, without any further ado, I really hope you enjoyed this first episode. And here he is, the late Chris Squire.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Where are you guys headed to today?
Well, we're not actually on the road yet. I'm at home in Phoenix at the moment.
Okay, great. I guess if we could just start off with a kind of a local question. I know you guys tour all over the world, but I usually ask if they're at any point during Yes's career or whatever, if you remember a show in the Buffalo, New York area that kind of stands out, any reminiscing of the Buffalo area?
And New York State's always been a good place for us to play, I do remember playing in Buffalo at the stadium once, I think probably in 76, when we were on tour. The Peter Frampton, I think it probably was. But I'm not sure. There may have been a different show. I think the Jay Giles band were playing with us, but that was a particularly exciting show.
You know, over the years, obviously, you know that Yes has had a lot of lineup changes and things like that, but you're the guy that has been the constant throughout the history of Yes. And if I was kind of pose this question to you, and maybe it has been posed before, but let's say, for example, Yes was rightfully inducted into the Hall of Fame, because really you are the sort of the premier progressive rock band, for lack of a better term. Which members do you think would be the ones that would be inducted that really gave the most to the band throughout their career?
Sorry, what is the question then? Which members would be what?
Well, when they induct a band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like, for example, Santana. I just had the opportunity to interview Greg Raleigh from Santana. He sang Black Magic Woman, and he was inducted with the members of Santana, and he felt very honored, because sometimes as bands change lineups, the Rock Hall decides which ones are going to stay in. And
well, I think that would be a big problem with Yes, because, how do you determine, you know, which I believe the 18 members have more impact at a certain time than others. It's very difficult to tell. I think I think they put Funkadelic Parliament or whatever they were called in there, and I think they inducted like all 25 people or something. So I think if it happens with Yes, I think they probably should put everyone in who's ever been in the band, just to be fair to everyone rather than discriminate.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when you look over Yes, it's sort of one of those strange things that yet, even though there's the lineup changes, there still is sort of a constant thread that keeps everything together and still sounds uniquely Yes.
Right. I guess I might have some responsibility for that, but with every change that the band's ever had, you know, that like the incoming new member have usually always brought something to the table, and the thread sort of has remained the same. And let's not forget, of course, that Alan White has been drumming with Yes for 40 years, mm-hmm. so he's like the new drummer. But he's been there for 40 years, but you know, beside me as well. And then, of course, you know, we've had, you know, the things where both John and Steve and Rick, you know, have been in the band, out of the band, in the band, out of the band. And that's been a sort of a constant as well, that thing. So it's hard to judge, really, you know, on your original question about, you know, who made the most important contribution at what time. You could say Trevor Rabin made a very big contribution in the 80s when he was a guitar player. And, it would be difficult to decide.
And what's interesting, you know, I actually had the honor of interviewing Trevor about a month ago, and I think he's very different from you in the respect that Trevor said he really hated touring, and he's very happy with his role as, you know, working on movies and everything. But you, for 40 years, I mean, do you ever get to spend any time at home? It seems like you're constantly touring, except for brief periods where the band was either on hiatus or broke up for a very short time.
Yeah, well, we had a few hiatus. I mean, we did have quite a long one between 2004 and 2008, where we weren't doing anything. And then once again at the beginning of the 80s, before we recorded 90125, that was quite an extended 3-year period of sort of time off. But yeah, you know, and I know, I was just saying to my wife today, it seemed because we're leaving on Tuesday to go up to Toronto to start this tour, and I said to her, oh, it feels like we just got home.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I like my time at home, but it's good to keep busy as well, you know, and I enjoy playing very much, you know, and I like to, you know, entertain people, and I like to see people being entertained, so it all works out.
And you as a bass player, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times before, rightfully so. I mean, you're right up there, if not the top living bass player today. And your style is just so incredible and so unique. But that being said, you mentioned Trevor Rabin during the 90125 era. It just seemed like at that point when Trevor Horn produced that one album, he really kind of buried your bass in the mix. And but yet when he did Fly From Here, he corrected that mistake, which I honestly thought it was a mistake. And 90125 obviously is an iconic album, and I love the album. But really, as a guy who gets used to hearing you, that album was kind of a shock to the system.
Well, I don't think the bass was that quiet on it. I think I would have said something about it if I thought it was that soft. I think maybe it's just been louder on other things at certain times, and Trevor really, you know, has never had a problem with turning me up in the mix. But you know, 90125 was a different kind of album. I mean, it was more of a rock album, honestly. You know, I guess we were all going for that more kind of a cohesive rock sound. And of course, it was very different. Trevor's guitar playing was very different from Steve Howe's. You know, in a way, a lot more metal-y and a lot more, a lot more like other people, I suppose. Right. So, you know, I never had a problem though with the bass level on 90125.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a...
But thanks for caring.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a huge fan of bass. I mean, John Entwistle was a guy that I loved because I grew up listening to The Who and everything. But yeah. Really what drew me to Yes was Howe's guitar playing, which is like a freak of nature, and your bass playing, which is a freak of nature as well. I mean, they're so distinct, it's hard not to get drawn into it.
Right. Well, thank you for the compliments, and I'm sure Steve, thank you too.
Also, if we could talk about this, because I know your time's kind of limited. You know, I was reading about this and I completely forgotten about it. But as a kid growing up, there was the legend of the great band that never was, ex-Yes Zeppelin group with Ewan Allen and Jimmy Page and potentially Robert Plant. I guess there were other singers that were brought in.
There were no other singers that were brought in. It was just myself and Alan and Jimmy in the studio just making some demos. And there was the XYZ idea came up, you know, which is kind of, you know, would have been a natural name for it. So what happened was that, you know, Robert was supposed to come down and join in, but it was too early for him after John Bonham's passing, really. He didn't want to get re-involved in doing anything at that time, and that was how he felt about it. So the whole thing really just fizzled out, really. Because without Robert, it wasn't really going to go any further than that. I think we ever thought it would be a three-piece, so, you know.
Well, the prospect at the time must have been pretty exciting, because I know music fans were incredibly excited about it.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, being involved with it was good too, and it was good to. Jimmy wanted to do it so that he could get back in the saddle, kind of thing, you know, because obviously he was upset by John's passing as well. So, you know, so the way he dealt with it was, let's do some playing. And I guess the way Robert dealt with it was, let's just do nothing for now. So, you know, it would have been nice if it had developed, but it didn't. And that's when I, you know, went on to get Trevor Raymond involved in Yes. And it actually was Cinema was the name of that project. And then it got changed back to Yes not long before the album was finished. So we moved on to there, and you know, that was a very successful album for us.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Trevor actually told me, kind of semi off the record, that he wasn't real thrilled with the whole idea of calling it Yes at the time, that he still wanted to kind of forge your own identity as Cinema.
In a way, so did I. And it was really the record company that were pressuring us to go back to calling it Yes. And for obvious reasons, that obviously they'd already, Yes had a history, and they thought obviously it would be easier to sell under that name. So that's basically how it got changed, really.
And I'll just wrap up with the last question. Your newest album, the one that you did with Steve Hackett of Genesis.
Oh, Squacket, yeah.
Yeah, that's you singing on the album, I presume. Doing a lead vocals?
It's both of us singing, yeah. Both myself and Steve.
Yeah, it's interesting because it has such an interesting quality. And I'm wondering, I don't mean to use the term interesting because it sounds like it's not great, because it is great. And I was really impressed, though, with the singing. And your voice is one of those voices that you've heard in Yes for years, but you've never really had lead vocals. But you've harmonized on a lot of the songs, haven't you?
I've sung Yes from the beginning. In fact, yeah, I mean, I know, I've heard that a lot, that not many people really realize how much of what they're enjoying with the Yes vocals album was also came from me. So when Steve Hackett and I got together, I didn't even know Steve sang when we got together, actually, and I was surprised when he played me some demos with him singing on it. And I was pleasantly surprised. And then I was even more surprised when we started singing things together and harmonizing together, how well our voices blended together. And I'm very proud of the Squacket album, and I hope it'll do well.
Well, I definitely want to definitely plug that in, the, even though this is a Yes concert coming up, because I was just floored. You know, I've been a long follower of Steve. His solo work is fantastic, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But, and he puts out a ridiculous amount of music annually, so he's easy to follow. But yeah, that album is definitely, it's fantastic. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. Yeah, give it a plug.
Well, listen, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you setting this up. It's been quite an honor. I actually, my youngest son is named Trevor, after Trevor Raven, because I grew up loving 90125. But you as a bass player, I've loved listening to you, and evidently as a background vocalist for longer than I knew. So.
Okay, Tom, it was nice talking to you. So, as you said, I have another interview coming in. So.
Okay. Well, very good.
All right, nice chatting.
Look forward to seeing you in Lewis, in New York.
Yeah, come and say hi.
Okay, will do. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, I want to thank you once again for joining me for this episode of Night and Day with Chris Squire. There's plenty of other Yes stuff that I have in the archive. I've got an interview with drummer Alan White, Jeffrey Downs, who was with both Asia and Yes, a couple interviews with Trevor Rabin, a couple of interviews with John Anderson as well. So sometime over the next few months, just keep your eye out. There'll definitely be some more Yes material, some more progressive rock. And in the meantime, if you could please take the time to review this podcast on iTunes or whatever platform that you're listening to, it just helps me pay the bills, which aren't a whole heck of a lot, but you know, it's always nice to get some of that feedback out there so we can help grow the podcast. Once again, thank you very much. I'll see you at our next concert.